All right, you guys ready? Yeah, I think that was a good prayer for me even to this morning. I don't know what's going on, but it seems like everybody I talked to this morning had a hard week, had a long week, is tired today, has been sick, feels like they're getting sick. I don't know what it is. I feel the same way today. Usually I'm like, I get to preach today. And today I was like, I kind of work myself up to preach because, I mean, if you've been to this church, you know I love preaching to you. But Renee's prayer hit me exactly where I needed to be. We all go through difficult things. We all have difficult weeks. It's the highs and lows of this faith, but Jesus Christ is with us, and that's what we're going to celebrate today. So if you don't know me, my name's JT. I'm one of the pastors here at Freshwater. I'm so thankful if you're new here today. I would love to meet you. I'd love to find out how you ended up here, and just to get to know you and answer any questions that you might have about Freshwater Church. So please come find me after the service. If you've got your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Matthew 22. Matthew 22 is where we're going to start today, and we're going to be in Matthew pretty much the whole day today. If this is your first time at Freshwater, you've actually picked a really good week to be here, because the last 3 weeks we've been really talking about who we are. That's why we're in a three-week series called Vision, and this is the last week of that, Vision In and Out. And really, what we've been doing is we've been talking about what is the mission of Freshwater? Like, what is the vision of Freshwater? Why are we here? And what we've really seen, in reality, it's not just the vision and the mission of Freshwater. It's really the vision, the mission of the church as a whole. That's what we've really been talking about. Because, as I mentioned last week, if you weren't here, it's just so easy for churches to lose their way. Right? To lose their way, to forget why they started their church in the first place, to lose their vision, to lose who they are. Over time, it just starts slipping away. We start slipping more and more and doing what is easier and what's a little bit more comfortable instead of what God has actually called us to. And so I wanted to take 3 weeks out from our Roman series just to talk about and remind us all of who we are. And not really because we're in a bad place. We're actually in a really healthy place. But we've had a lot of changes and a lot of moving around. And just to narrow in, this is who we are. This is what God called us to. And for so many new people that are coming to our church in the last 3 or 4 months, for you to really understand exactly who we are, because we want to remain faithful to what God has called us to, not just the things that we want to do. So the whole series is really revolved around our mission statement. And if you haven't heard this before, you're going to hear it a lot. The mission statement of Freshwater is, Freshwater exists to glorify God and advance the gospel. Right? To glorify God first and advance the gospel. And so week one of the series, we really just focused on that first part. What does it mean to live for the glory of God? To everything in your life, to live, to love, to serve, and to glorify God. Because what we saw from Scripture is that's actually the reason we were created. It's in Isaiah. We were created to live for God's glory and to give Him glory. So we looked at how do you have everything in your life live for the glory of God. And we saw that the main way that we do that, the main thing that Bible is pointing to is found in Hebrews 1. And it told us that Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of His nature. You want to know who God is? You look to Jesus. You know what? The glory of God and how to live out the glory of God? You look to Jesus. Right? Living for Jesus, loving Jesus is living and loving for the glory of God. And so everything at this church is centered around Jesus. You'll hear it every single week. We're going to talk about Jesus. Another way of saying that is everything at this church revolves around the gospel, around God's eternal plan to save and redeem His people through the life, the death, the resurrection, and the eventual return of Jesus Christ. You're going to hear about Jesus so much because we never grow past the gospel. We never grow past living for the glory of God. It's why we were created. It's who we are. So if that's true, and we truly are living for the glory of God, we're living to make much of Jesus Christ, in the long run, we're going to have to tell people about Him. Like, we will be compelled to tell people about Him. And that's where we get the second part of our mission statement. We live for the glory of God, and if we are living for the glory of God, we will be compelled to advance the gospel. And so that led us into last week, where we looked at that second part of our mission statement, advance the gospel. And in particular, we looked at how we advance the gospel within our church family. And so I want to really encourage you, if you weren't here last week and you've been to Freshwater forever or you're kind of new, to go back and listen to the sermon last week on our podcast or on our website, because it was really important to finding on what it looks like to advance the gospel within our church family. Because here's the reality. We're a church that's very focused on serving our community and being involved and not just loving in words, but in deed and truth, like to live that out everywhere. But we're going to be so much more effective, so much more powerful, so much more empowered by the Holy Spirit to go and do that if we're healthy here first. So God wants us to constantly advance the gospel among each other, to speak the truth of the gospel to each other so that we grow, we become more like Jesus so that we're healthy. And so we looked at what that really looks like at Freshwater is two things. community discipleship, and using our gifts for the sake of each other. Right? That the Bible makes it very clear that we are to be involved. We are to be in this community because together we're so much stronger. And community discipleship, what that really looks like, is lifting each other up. Right? Pouring into each other so that we grow in spiritual maturity. To have people to rejoice with and weep with. We're supposed to be a family. So many churches out there don't actually do these things with each other, but we are meant to do these things with each other because alone we are vulnerable to our enemy, but together we are strong. So we talked about the pathway to being involved in community here, to being involved in being discipled, to be more like Jesus Christ. And then the other kind of half we looked at is using your gifts, your time, your resources, your money, and your wisdom for the sake of others as they use all those things for the sake of you. And how we use all those things to serve each other. We are not, the church is not meant to be a place where you come in and get fed. Although that'll happen, right? That's part of discipleship. The church is meant to be a place where we all come in and we're all serving each other. So all needs are being met and we're all growing and we're all using our gifts, our time, our money, our resources, all of that to disciple each other, to grow each other into the fullness of Jesus Christ. Because we were never meant to do this alone. Oh man, so many Christians basically live out their faith alone. And the scripture is warning over and over and over and over the danger of that. No, we're so much stronger together. Every piece is important to lifting up the entire body. So much more to say on that. But again, you can go back and listen to the podcast from last week at our website to catch up. Because we even talked about our new board back there, right? You want to learn how to serve and use your gifts for the church? There's a board back there called the Say Yes board that has all of our ministries. And now there's cards on there, all the different ways you can serve and get involved. Every person at this church should be serving and involved in some way. Because as we said last week, if you're not, then we're all weaker because of it. Can we survive without you serving your brothers and sisters in Christ within this church? Yeah, we'll survive, but we'll never be as much as we could be if we're all using our gifts, our talents, our money, our resources, our wisdom, our experiences together to build each other up. That's how we take care of needs. That's how we grow into the fullness of Christ. So we talked about what it means to advance the gospel in the church. Now that leads us into this week where we're really going to be talking about how we advance the gospel out of the church, outside of this family. That's why it's called Vision, in and out, in the church and outside the church. How do we live out our mission to glorify God and this week in particular, advance the gospel to a lost, broken, hurting world? So as we have in the first 2 weeks of the series, we're going to be looking at two passages, both in Matthew, that have defined us as a church since the very beginning. They've defined us from the very beginning. And I'm hoping that these passages will be familiar to you, especially if it's your first week, but if you've been coming to Freshwater for any amount of time, I'm hoping these are really familiar because here's just the truth of it. You don't need me to go and find these new, insightful, kind of cool like verses in the Old Testament or the New Testament to give you a new spin on it, to like reignite your passion for the glory of God because I'm so clever and we found something new. I think there's so many teachers out there that are wanting to find something new to impress you. I don't need to impress you, right? Because here's just the truth. We're talking about Renee's prayer and how I felt this morning and how a lot of you came in here feeling this morning. Isn't it hard enough just to live out the most basic truths in the Bible? Isn't that hard enough in the highs and lows of life? Because life is hard. Sometimes life is awesome, and sometimes life is just so hard you don't know how you're going to go on. And I know some of you have felt that way. I don't know how I'm going to go on anymore with life like this. And let me just say, it's okay, and that we love you, and all of us have been there at some point, right? It's hard enough to live out the most simple things in Scripture. We don't need to try to move on to clever things. We need to hold on to the bedrock, the truth, the cornerstone of things. Because that's where real hope is found, not clever twists. So today what we're going back to for how do we advance the gospel outside of this church is the bedrock truths of who we are and focusing on those and praying that God would help us to actually live those simple things out. That's what we're going to do today. So we're going to look at two passages that not only define Freshwater as a church, but like I said at the beginning, that just to really define us as Christ followers. Let's start with Matthew 22. Go ahead and turn to Matthew 22. We're going to be in verse 36. Other than John 3:16, this might be the most famous passage in Scripture. Even if you're in here today and you're not a believer, and we love you and we're so thankful you're here, spend the time that you need to figure out who Jesus is to you. But even for a lot of non-believers, they've heard this passage before. Matthew 22, we're going to start in verse 36. So what's going on is there's been a lot of religious teachers challenging Jesus. And so one of them, a well-informed lawyer, comes up to Jesus and says this in verse 36, "Teacher, "Which is the greatest commandment of the law?" And he, Jesus, said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." That's a crazy bold statement. Jesus is saying, like, everything, all of God's commands, all of God's law, everything that we are supposed to be as God's people rests on these two commands. Crazy. We've all heard it before, right? You know, Jesus actually quotes this from the Old Testament. The first part, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and strength, comes from what's called the Shema. Incredibly important to the Jewish people, right? They're supposed to live this and concentrate on this and pray over this every single day, right? And so really, love God with everything in you is very much like our mission statement, glorify God with everything in you. That's live for the glory of God. Live to love God. That's why we exist. But Jesus does something really interesting with this passage here. These guys end up agreeing with him because they can't. This is from the Old Testament. It's like the most pivotal part of their law. But he takes two different commands from the Old Testament. He puts them together. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Those aren't like that in the Old Testament. Jesus puts them together. And he does something pretty amazing with them. He doesn't say that the second part of the command is as important as the first, because nothing is more important than living for the glory of God, living to love God. But what he's saying is these two things cannot be separated. They're intertwined. Did you hear that? Loving your neighbor as yourself is so closely related to loving God that those two things cannot be separated. You can't pull those things apart. I know we've all known church people that say they love God but don't love people. Listen, that might be an indication that they're far away from God or they're not a believer, because these two things are so closely intertwined, they can't be separated. Loving your neighbor is loving God. Loving God will compel you to love your neighbor. Those can't be separated. We can have highs and lows in our lives when we're doing well and we're blowing it, but those two things can't be separated. It reminds me of another passage, just a few chapters after this. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to read it to you, but it's Matthew 25:40. Jesus says this, "As you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." This is Jesus basically saying the same thing. Jesus so associated himself with those in need, particularly those in need within the church, that he says, loving them is loving me. Loving people in need is loving me. How crazy is that? That's why we're so passionate about serving, not just serving and loving our neighbor, but trying to serve and love those in need. The Bible talks about loving the widow, the orphan, the poor, all people need, over 2,100 times in the Bible. 2,100 times in 66 books, it refers to how we are to love those who are in need. Spiritual need, emotional need, physical need. We're to love. We're to seek out. And Jesus says loving people like that is loving me. They're so intertwined, they can't be separated. I mean, do you really feel like we need to find new and insightful texts to motivate us, church, when it's hard enough to live this out? Love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, it's a platitude that we all stand on as Christians, but how many of us can honestly say, man, I do an awesome job of loving my neighbor as myself? And if you're new to this whole church thing, your neighbor just means the person that you're around in your life, right? Not necessarily in your neighborhood, that could be that, but the people that you encounter every day, the people that you may know or you may not know, the people that you find along your path, along the path that God's called you to, that's your neighbor. How many of you are killing it at that? Listen, this is not condemnation. This is just maybe a little wake-up call to who God has called us to be and who we need to be and who we desperately need Jesus to help us to be. Because loving your neighbor as yourself should be the simplest of all things. But man, is that not complicated? So what does it look like? What does it look like to love our neighbor as ourselves? Well, the easiest way to say it is to love people like Christ loved them. Loving people not based on what they deserve, or where they came from, or their race, or if you agree with them on the really tough topics, or hear me, or even based on how kind they are to you. Because Jesus loved his enemies. Because Jesus said from the cross to the people crucifying him, "Forgive them, Father, I don't know what I'm doing." That's loving your neighbor like Christ. It's loving with grace and mercy and gentleness and forgiveness. which are four of the hardest things to do in the real world around people who don't deserve any of those things. But that's who Christ loved. The Bible says even evil people give good gifts to those they love, do good to those they love. The most evil people in the world do those things. What distinguishes us as people that are Christ-like, that love our neighbor as ourselves, is we love the people that are really hard to love, who don't deserve our love. And that is hard. We don't have to act like it's not hard. It's okay here to say that if you're not good at this, it's okay to say you're not good at this. Jesus can change that. We can work through that, but it's hard. It's loving people simply because we choose to. That's what real love looks like. It's not this big feeling that you have all the time. God chose to love us. Do you know why? Because He chose to. That's the end of it. He loves us because He chose to love us, and we choose to love people. So what does that look like a little bit more practically than that? It looks like doing our absolute best to do the greatest good to the people around us that we can. To do the greatest good to the people around us that we can. Now that sounds like a pretty big task. Listen, we can't fix everything. There's a few people I wanted to make eye contact. One of them's not here today. Listen, because they try to serve and fix everything in everybody's life because they have a servant's heart. But listen, we can't fix everything. We can't be everything to every person. We can't give everything. Right? We wouldn't be healthy and they wouldn't be healthy. You can't do it all. But what it does mean is that you intentionally, that word in Christianity kind of has gotten old by now, right? But it's you have to have intention. You intentionally, sacrificially, and generously strive to love those around you the way that Christ has loved you. So you strive to be generous, sacrificial, and to give of yourself to those around you so that you can do the greatest good possible for them. Now, we could talk way up here all the time in life group and discipleship. We talk about what we should be and what us as Christians should be, what Christianity should look like. What it's so hard to do is for people to get out of the clouds of we and talk about me. What do I need to do? And so as I talk about this, I want you to think about your life, because this doesn't start with going to India. That's not where this starts. Right? This doesn't even start, like, I'm going to talk about this in a minute. This doesn't start with Tom Watkins' neighborhood. Some of you live in Tom Watkins' neighborhood, some of you don't. We'll talk about that more in a minute, but it doesn't start in your neighborhood. It starts in your own circle, every day, where you are, where God has you, because He's got a purpose for you there. It starts with your family and friends. It starts at your workplaces. It starts in your neighborhood where you actually live. We all have to take it as a personal challenge to be lights exactly where we are. Right? We don't need to go out there to find where God wants to use us. We have to start right where we are, or we're never going to be effective out there. Does that make sense? If you're not living as a missionary, if you're not living on mission for who God has called you to be, at where you work right now, with your family right now, then we're missing it. And sometimes that's the hardest place, right? With our own family, sometimes that's the hardest place to be on mission for God, but that's where God's called you to be. It's why one of our neighbors ended up coming to Freshwater and being really involved here, and we got in our life group because my wife and I were doing our best just to love our neighbors. They moved in next door. We met them. We told them, we kind of started talking about Jesus. We told them about the church, and they ended up here and ended up in our life group. They've recently moved, but that we made that connection. It's why many weeks we bring one of the neighbor kids to church with us, because we're trying to be a light in our neighborhoods. And I'm telling you, my wife and I have tons of room to grow in this. But how many of your neighbors do you actually know? How many of them have you ever talked about Jesus with, or like got that into the conversation, or just done kind things for your neighbors? It's so anti our culture now, isn't it? We pull in, hopefully if your garage isn't packed with stuff, or if you have a garage, you pull in, you shut the door, and hopefully nobody ever sees you again. Or if you have to park in the driveway, your apartment, whatever, you just run it in as fast as you can, just looking down. I saw this comedian one time. I said that, do you ever see this comedian? I don't even know if he's really appropriate, but I saw it and it was funny. Right, the point was where he was talking about how we used to have company. Like, we used to be like, oh, company's coming over. Like, they knock on the door, the company's here. And now when somebody knocks on the door, we're like, who is that? Why? Duck, turn off the light. Why are people knocking on our door? Right? That's kind of where our culture's gone, right? Like, let's not engage. But can we be different? Can we engage with the world? around us in our circle right now has got to be primary. See, that's what happens when I go off my script. I start talking about comedians. But seriously, it has to be right where you are right now. That's where it's got to start. That's where you need to talk to God and ask Him, God, help me with my coworker who I can't stand, that I know that doesn't love Jesus and that treats me terrible. How can I love them in a way that shows them something different? Everybody else hates them, but I don't want to be a person that gossips about them and talks about them and avoids them. Maybe I can be the person that can break through the hardness in their heart because they don't know Jesus and there's so much hate and bitterness there. I can be the one that God used to break through that. And maybe that takes years. But do you want to be that person? Hear me. It's hard to be that person. For some of you thinking about that now, you think about that person. It's exhausting to think about being that person. Hear me, it's okay. Because you're not supposed to have the strength on your own to break through to that person. That's the Holy Spirit's work within you. But if you've been coming to this church for any amount of time, you know that as a whole, as a church body, as a people, God has given us a specific place to love and to serve. And where's that? Anna, like everybody, Tom Watkins. Tom Watkins. Just in case you're wrong, right? Yes, absolutely. Tom Watkins. So if you're unfamiliar, Tom Watkins is the neighborhood that's basically at Kansas and Kearney, all the way down to West Bypass, all the way to Division. That's the area that God's called us to serve and to love specifically as a church body. We planted this church to be involved in that side of the neighborhood. We just felt like God was saying, that part of this city, that neighborhood does not know how much I love them. And I want you to go there, and I want you to be my missionaries to this part of the city. You be the ones to tell them how much Jesus loves them, how much we care for them. So that's been kind of our mission, to love this neighborhood well and tell them about Jesus along the way. We felt strongly from the very beginning to let people know that they are not forgotten, that they are not abandoned, that they're not alone, to show them that Christ loves them and so do we. And so another verse, I'm just going to quote it really quickly, another verse that's defined us and our approach to loving our city well, to loving our neighbors well, has from the very beginning has been 1 Thessalonians 2:8. 1 Thessalonians 2:8, this is what it says. Listen to how this communicates. This is not going out and doing some church project. Listen to this. So, being affectionately desirous of you. Affectionately desirous of you. We are ready to share with you not only the gospel, but our own selves. Because you had become very dear to us. You see how much different that is than putting on a good event so good church people can feel good about themselves? You see how much difference that is than packing backpacks or school supplies? And listen, we do school supplies. It's important. We need to do it. It's an important part of what we do at Freshwater. But do you see how that is different than packing backpacks for school supplies? Which is a good thing, but it can't be the only thing. See, even for a lot of us, when we get involved in outreach, we get involved in serving our community, we still kind of want it to, like, let's just be honest. Can we be honest at church? We still want it to very much be on our terms, to fit into our lives, to be in places that we are comfortable. But being affectionately desirous of people and giving them not only Jesus, Jesus is going to be there, not only Jesus, but our own selves because they're dear to us. There's no comfortable in that. But that's what we're called to. Man, that's hard. At our church, we call this evangelistic discipleship. Absolutely, we're going to tell people about Jesus. We are all, every one of us in this room, missionaries and evangelists. Maybe you have the gift, maybe you don't. But you follow the ones with the gift and learn from them, and then you still do it because we are all on the same mission. So we evangelize. But if you've ever told people about Jesus consistently in your lives, you know this is true. That some people, man, the Holy Spirit strikes their hearts, it takes their dead heart to life, and it's like an explosion, and they come to Jesus, and it's amazing. They hear that their sins can be forgiven by the blood of Christ, no matter what they've done, what they've been through, that Jesus wants to save them, redeem them, and bring them into their family, and promise them eternity. They're like, yes, praise God, I want that. And some people, it's year after year after year after year supporting them, loving them, pouring into them, pointing them to Jesus, being with them through the disasters in their life until they finally see. And whether they know Jesus or don't know Jesus, that is discipleship. And again, that's harder than a drive-by evangelism. Putting your hand on somebody's shoulder and saying, do you want to go to hell? No, then say this prayer with me. People have been led to Jesus that way. And a lot of people have been led really astray that way. But this kind of desirous affection for people sharing the gospel, willing to walk through them through evangelistic discipleship over time, that's hard. You know what it looks like at this church sometimes? Meeting people, getting to know them, making connections. They're growing. You think they're getting ready to accept Jesus. I mean, they're in, but they haven't quite, they're almost in. And then they go back to drugs. Then they go back to homelessness. Then they go back to their girlfriend or boyfriend. Then they move away, and you never hear from them again. That's what we're called to. It doesn't always go that way. But for those of you who have been evangelistic in your lives, how many of you have been through the thing where you thought somebody was there, and then you felt like you lost them? How many people have been through that? It hurts. It's painful. That's what we're called to. Because the angels in heaven rejoice when one sinner comes to Jesus Christ. Because I'm guessing all those people that have raised their hand have also been able to lead people to Jesus and celebrate and rejoice. And there's nothing better than to see them come to Jesus and then get to watch them get baptized. Oh, so good. Church is what you were built for. That's where your fulfillment is supposed to be. That's where our joy is supposed to be. This quote that I love from C.S. Lewis that I use fairly often, and this is the basic because I'm totally off the rails right now. It's like we're children playing in a mud puddle, and we're satisfied with that because we can't understand the concept of the joy of taking a vacation to the beach. So that's who we are so often, church. That our mud puddle's okay because we know the mud puddle. But we're promised something so much better, yet we're too scared, we're too self-focused, we're too afraid of being uncomfortable that we just don't see. And we believe at this church that this comes, this joy that we're talking about, like the leading people to Jesus and seeing them get the and seeing the growth, this comes through a relationship. Evangelistic discipleship is about relationship, investing in people in meaningful ways. Not doing events, which events can lead us there, and not just telling people about Jesus, and we need to tell people about Jesus, but investing in them over time, over the long term, to lead them to Jesus Christ and to disciple them into the kingdom of God. It's why we've highly invested in Williams Elementary for 6 years, because the teachers, the staff, the students, the families are dear to us. And we want to see better things for them because we love Jesus. It's why we constantly do things in the neighborhood. It's why we always do things in the neighborhood. We want people in the neighborhood to know Jesus Christ. And we have seen people baptized recently to that account. But we also want the neighborhood to see that we just want better for them. For those of you that live in the neighborhood, a lot of you do. And for those of us that live outside of the neighborhood that come in to serve and to love, we want the neighborhood to be a better, safer place because we love people and they're dear to us and that's better for them. It's better for you if you live there. And I want that for my neighborhood, but God has specifically called us to Tom Watkins. And hear me. When it comes to Tom Watkins' neighborhood in particular, when it comes to the northwest side of Springfield in particular, I know some of you don't have this kind of love for this side of town yet. A lot of us live here. A lot of you don't. A lot of you that live here, that live in Tom Watkins, that live in Northwest Springfield, don't have a deep love for it. And a lot of you that don't live here don't have a deep love for it. And can you hear me? Like, I want you to hear this. It's okay. Do you know that that's okay? Because this isn't easy. Right? It's okay that you don't feel, you don't, you don't, You don't feel the vision for that like you wish you did, you could or should. You don't love the neighborhood. They're not dear to you. You don't affectionately desire people of Tom Watkins' neighborhood of Northwest Springfield to see Jesus like this yet. It's okay, but listen, you don't have to stay there because God has radically changed my heart. He's radically changed other people's hearts to deeply, deeply care what happens. It's why Denny and Paula left their house on the southwest side of Springfield and moved into the neighborhood so they could be there and they could experience and they could love people practically. Ask God to change your heart. For those of you that don't love the northwest side of Springfield, don't love Tom Watkins' neighborhood, when was the last time that you begged God to break your heart for what breaks His, to break your heart for the vision of Freshwater Church? When was the last time? Listen, don't hear guilt. Hear motivation to go to God because we can't love like this. It is too hard, but in Jesus Christ we can. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can. We can see things change for good if we're willing to go to God and ask Him to help us and be with us. And we've seen the fruit of it over time. It takes a long time, but we've seen the fruit. It's why last year I was talking to a teacher who wanted us to disciple one of the kids, called Freshwater and said, do you have any men that could disciple this boy? He needs someone desperately. And when I was talking to her about that, and she said, you know, we used to always used to feel like that no one cared about us. We're Williams Elementary, Northside School, nobody knew, nobody cared. I said, do you feel that way anymore? And with tears, she was crying. She said, no, not anymore. Not anymore. That's long-term investment. That's what we want to see. Right? It's why a couple block parties ago, I had three different people walk up to me and say, man, Tom Watkins is just a great place to live. You know, 5 years ago, it wasn't the great place to live. It for some people that lived there, you knew that it was a good place. But for most people, it was a drive-through place where drug dealers lived. Oh my gosh. But over time, the community started coming together. And that's not all Freshwater. It's a lot of people working together for the good of the neighborhood because they love Jesus, wanting to see better things. And there's people in the neighborhood now that think, man, this is a great place to live because the community comes together. It's what we want. It's why we bought a roach-infested, condemned, falling-down drug house across from Freshwater Church. Because it was a blight on the neighborhood. It was bringing darkness into the neighborhood. And neighbors were talking about moving away forever from places they've lived for a long time because they couldn't take it anymore. So we bought the house and we're tearing it down. We're basically turning it into a park-like area. Why? Because we love Jesus and we want to do things practically for people to see. We care about you. We care about what happens in this neighborhood. And we don't want you to leave. We want you to stay. The neighbors basically had a party when we decided to buy the house and tear it down. It's why we do these things. That's why we got to baptize 6 people recently. Because we're trying to live out the mission of glorifying God, advance the gospel, discipling people to Jesus, baptizing them, and then teaching them to obey. So when we ask you to volunteer for things, when we ask you to get involved in outreach, it's not to put on a good event, but to show our neighbors that we love them, that they are dear to us, and that we're willing to give ourselves for them. Because we want to point them to Jesus. You know, along those lines, you know we have a huge opportunity right now, church? I talked about this last week. If you weren't here, next Saturday is the Unity on Division event. You know, this event is to show our neighbors specifically how much we love them and to bring healing among all the things that society tells us divides us. It was created to help heal racial divides, economic divides, church denomination divides, political divides, to show our community through the power of the Holy Spirit, churches leading the way, that we are not divided by hate because love is more powerful than hate. That we can be united together for the sake of the kingdom of God and for the good of our city. And for the first time ever, I think this is the 7th year they've done it, for the first time in 7 years, they are doing it in Tom Watkins' neighborhood. And they heard about your reputation, about the things that we do, about how we love our community, and they reached out to us and they said, you have to be involved. Our reputation for loving our neighborhood is leading people to ask us to want to be involved with them because they've seen what we've done. Freshwater is not awesome. We're just trying to be faithful to what God has called us to. Because we're trying to live for the glory of God and point people to Him and see better things come because we love Jesus. So I'm asking you, get involved with this thing. Next Saturday, if you can go, it's from 11 to 3. Sign up at our website. Volunteer. I think Denny's going to talk about the places where you can specifically volunteer at the end. I'm not asking you to attend an event. I'm asking you to be involved in the neighborhood to bring the love of Jesus Christ there. Like, this is a church-led event. This is a place where you can talk to people about Jesus. There's going to be a prayer tent that you could go and be involved in the prayer tent. Or, man, just come. Just be there. Be involved. And let's love the neighborhood well. Please come. I know some of you might have plans next Saturday, and that's okay, but if you're coming to Freshwater and things like this don't stir your heart, or you're not asking God to help him, to help you, to help this, to stir things, to have your heart stirred for things like this, then why are you at this church? I've said this before, I'll say it again. I love you. I want you here. We want to walk through it with you and disciple you, but if you have no heart to be involved, to engage in our city, to see a difference made, then why are you actually here? Because that's who we are. We're not a church of attenders. We're a church that loves in truth and deeds. We proclaim the truth every week, but we are involved. Be involved. And again, if you don't have a heart for it now, it's okay. Pray that God would change your heart. Talk with somebody at the church that you know is involved to pray with you. God will change your heart because he's called us to do good, to be involved, to tell people about Jesus, to engage in evangelistic discipleship. But you know, it's not just in our homes and in our workplaces and in our cities that God is calling us to advance the gospel. It's a lot bigger than that. Turn to Matthew 28. We're not going to be there long, but we got to look at Matthew 28. Another passage that I think if you were at Freshwater last week, you probably heard. This one comes up, I don't know, once a month, maybe. Matthew 28, verse 18. One of the last commands that Jesus ever gave before he ascended into heaven. Matthew 28, 18 says this. This is like, memorize this. And Jesus came and he said to them, to the disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe, to obey all that I have commanded you. And behold," I love this line, "I am with you always to the end of the age." So as we talked about last week, whether inside the church or outside the church, our mission, our real goal as a church is to make disciples. That's what advancing the gospel really is. Making disciples who love, who follow, who worship, and who obey all that God has commanded. And listen, one of the most encouraging things about this mission, because sometimes you don't feel ready to make disciples, you don't feel equipped to make disciples, you're afraid to go and make disciples, you're afraid to share Jesus with people. Jesus just said right here, "All authority has been given to me." He's not just our Savior. He is Lord. He is King. He is ruler. And he's saying, "All authority has been given to me, so go. Go and make disciples because I am with you." That's why I said last week that the church, if we are faithful to God, cannot be stopped. The mission to make disciples cannot be stopped because all authority is with the one who has all the power, all the strength, all the might, and he's empowered you to go. This is what he is sending you out. You can't be stopped. Because even that person that you shared the gospel with and then they disappear forever, you planted the seeds of the gospel, you did your job, you trust the Holy Spirit with the rest. It's faithful going out and doing the work that God has called you to. But did you see what verse 19 said? Yes, we're supposed to share the gospel in our families, in our homes, in our workplaces, in our city. But where did verse 19 say we were to go? To all nations. We are to go places where the gospel has never gone. We are to go places where the gospel has been twisted so it's no longer recognizable anymore. And we're to go places where our brothers and sisters in Christ need partners to come alongside them so that they can live out the mission, the most important mission that God gave us. It's why we support missionaries in Africa to unreached people groups. It's why we support the family that was here last week to the Muslim world because they're going to unreached people groups. It's why we have a couple coming next month that are going again to the Muslim world and to the Middle East to go to unreached people groups. It's why we have another couple coming in November that are going to Southeast Asia to go to unreached people groups. It's why we have a couple right now praying whether or not God is calling their family to go to full-time overseas missions to unreached people because there's unreached people groups. 30% of the world has never heard the gospel. A third of the world has never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'll never forget the time when I was in India and I was preaching the gospel and someone said, wait. You said Jesus. Who's this Jesus that you talk about? I've never heard that name. And I knew it was true. That's why we were there. But having someone stop me and say, I don't understand what you're saying. Who's Jesus? Oh, I think for the first time ever, it actually hit me. There's people that's never even heard his name. We've got to go, church. We've got to go. And not only because we want to see salvation come in Christ to people all over the world, and we do, we want to see salvation come, but because Jesus himself said this in Matthew 24:14. Matthew is our book for today. Matthew 24:14, listen, this is what it says. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. Did you hear that? Did you hear that promise? Jesus is saying, when the gospel has been proclaimed everywhere, when it has gone to all nations, I'm going to return. I'm going to come and make all things new. When everyone in the world has had the opportunity to hear, until that day, church, we are to go and try to hasten the day that Jesus is going to come. We have no idea when Jesus is going to come. It could be tomorrow. It could be in 1,000 years. But what we do know is the promise is that the gospel is going to go to all nations, and that in heaven, every tongue, every tribe, every nation will worship the King. And so we go because that is the mission that God gave us, hoping that it will hasten the day that Jesus Christ returns. I'm ready. Are you ready? I'm ready for Jesus Christ to return. Are you? Are you? Man, I'm tired of the brokenness in this world. Right, I'm ready for my reward. I'm ready to be with Christ forever. But I'm also ready to go and tell the gospel to people before it's too late, because the day of grace and mercy will end and Jesus will return with the sword, and on that day it's too late. So I'm torn, man. I'm like, Jesus, come, but not yet. Please come now, but not quite now. Do you know that feeling? So we're going to go. We have to go until the day that Jesus Christ returns. If you've been a part of this church, we've been sending short-term mission teams since the first few months of our existence. It's a major passion of who we are. Right now, we haven't sent a team in a while. You know why? I just think God is having us take a breath before we go again. Because we've always sent teams. It's been a little while now, but God's preparing something. We will go. So I'm asking you guys today to pray for our next long-term partner. We like to partner with people overseas over the long term, to get to know them, to invest in them, for them to invest in us, for us to partner together in the gospel. And it could be Asia, it could be Australia, it could be South America, or it could be Mexico, where we were for 3 years. I don't know where God's calling us, but will you pray with me that God would open that door? Because our other partnerships with our parent church to Africa and to India and then Mexico and then Haiti have all just kind of been like, it was obvious. God was like, this is where you're going. You're going to go? You're going to be faithful? We're just like, yes, we'll go. So we can go out and seek partnerships. There's people I could call right now. Like, we could go to Japan right now. We could go to Italy right now. We could go to Africa right now. But as I pray about them, none of them felt like this is where God was leading us. So we're just going to wait. Will you pray that God would open the next door for us so that we can just go? Because we're going to send you, church. I'm going to go. You're going to go. I'm so fired up. Dude, I about lost my voice. I got to quit yelling at you. I'm so excited. Right, we're going to go. But until then, we'll just support the missionaries that we support to unreached people groups. And we have other teams like the PT team from SBU that come to us, and we love them and we pray for them and we support them. And we'll support our missionaries that get sent out with other organizations. But join me in prayer that God would open the next door. And when that door opens, that we just go. That we're just willing to go. Because here's the truth. We are all called to be missionaries to the world. Every person in this room is called to be a missionary to this world. And some of us are called to be missionaries to our families for a while. You new moms, you know what your mission field is? Don't you ever think anything different. You new moms, your mission field is your family. Some of us are called to be missionaries to this city. I think everybody in this room, I'm trying to get to the point where they look at themselves as missionaries to this city. And some of us are called to be missionaries to the nations, to go to the world. What I'm asking you to do today is pray that God would give us our next partnership, and that you would be praying that and asking God, is He asking you to go to the nations? Every person. Because if we've had plenty of people in our church say, like, why would I go on missions? Who am I to go? One of them sitting back at that desk, I'm not going to tell you which one, don't look. But I've had people come to me and say, like, who am I to go? And then they went and had an unbelievable impact that they never could have imagined, and it absolutely changed them too, because we're going in a partnership. It is to share and spread the gospel with our partners and for them to spread the gospel into us too. Short-term missions is amazing when you have the right heart to go to partner with people, and that's going to happen. Is God calling you to go when the opportunity opens up? I pray that you would ask God if he's calling you to go. Whether you've been a Christian for 2 minutes or for 40 years, God will use you in incredible ways to advance his gospel throughout the world, because he has called us to make disciples of all nations. Do you know what I really love about all this? About advancing the gospel in our lives, in our city, and throughout the world? Is that God is inviting us to be a part of something that is so much bigger than us. It's so much bigger than us. It is a story. It is a plan that stretches all the way back to creation and will stretch on into an eternity when we celebrate forever what God did through us in eternity, and we celebrate the goodness of Jesus Christ. It is the biggest story ever told, and God is inviting you into it, because you know why? Because it's what you were created to do. It's where your joy and your hope and your fulfillment and your love is supposed to come from. It's who you were meant to be. There is so much fulfillment. There is so much joy. There is so much hope. There's so much love in this mission. He's calling you to engage in it. And maybe it's telling someone about Jesus at work. Maybe it's reaching out to that family member that's burned you and that's hurt you, and that you realize they're lost and you haven't prayed for them in a long time because they've hurt you. It's okay. It's remembering, man, maybe I'm not the person to lead them to Jesus, but maybe I am, but I can pray for them, because shouldn't they be dear to me? Asking God to change your heart for them to be dear to you again. Maybe it's getting more involved in Williams Elementary. Maybe it's getting involved in the things that we do in the neighborhood and getting involved with the outreach team. Maybe it's giving your money to support missionaries. Or maybe it's God calling you to leave on short term. Hey, listen, or maybe even long-term missions to unreached people groups in this world. Whatever it might be, church, I am begging you, I am pleading with you, don't run away from that call. God is bigger than your fear. He is better than your busyness. He is stronger than all of your weaknesses, and he is more glorious than the best thing this world has to offer. He is so much better. So let's let go of our comforts. Let's let go of our fears. Let's let go of our self-focus and just follow God in whatever he is calling us to. Let's give everything to actually live out the mission that God has given us, to glorify him and to advance the gospel. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. God, who are we that not only that you would choose to love us, but that you would save us, that you would redeem us, and then want to send us? Us who are broken, who are here because we're sinful, because we need redemption, because we don't have it all together, and we need you to change that. You want to send us into our workplaces, into our families and friends, into other nations. God, who are we? But you've promised us that you've given us all that we need to go. So God, I pray that you would help us. Help us to let go of the fears and the selfishness and the comforts of this world, to want to pour our lives out in love, love for you and love for others. God, I pray for everyone in this room, for so many of us in this room that know we're not good enough at this, that we wouldn't walk in shame and guilt for not being good enough, because Jesus, you came and died on that cross so you could be good enough for us. Help us to walk in the power of that, of this, and the strength and that, and the hope of we can leave the not being good enough behind and move forward in who you are for us, because your holiness, your righteousness is in us. God, I do pray that you would open up the next international partnership for us. We want to follow you faithfully to the nations. We want to be a part of the work that you're doing throughout the world to advance the gospel. We'll do it here, God. We'll continue to do it here as you've called us to, but help us to go there. Now, God, I pray you prepare hearts right now in this room to be willing to go. God, we love you. Help us to love you more. Help us to love others more. And help us to feel the drive to go out and make disciples of all nations. Jesus, we pray for all. We pray all these things in your glorious name. Amen. Church, if you need to pray, we'll be over there praying with you. I love it on a week that I didn't know if I had enough motivation to preach. I lost my voice preaching. God's doing an amazing thing here, church. I pray that you would engage. Let's worship.